Straight ahead, 30 days and a lot to accomplish. State lawmakers return to the Capitol Monday for a special legislative session. The legislature will debate ways to keep Texans safe during flash floods. State Senator Paul Bettencourt with one idea he will introduce. Republicans in Austin also with a bold plan to redraw Texas congressional seats, hoping to defeat five Democrats in D.C. Houston Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher on which colleagues are at risk and whether Democrats have any options to stop it. And State Senator Nathan Johnson looking to become Texas Attorney General, the first Democrat to launch a campaign. But can he defend laws passed by the Republican legislature? And the one element in his bio we never knew.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Thanks for joining us. A lot to cover here in the next half hour, but let's start with the headlines. The Texas legislature is going into overtime, and there are several big issues we're watching. The special 30-day legislative session begins Monday. President Trump worried that Republicans might lose control of Congress next year, so he wants the legislature to redraw congressional districts here in this state and possibly try and defeat up to five Democrats. We're also watching how the legislature might address the deadly flash floods and whether lawmakers approve a narrower ban on THC. We're also getting our first real glimpse of how some of the state's top races in 2026 are starting to shape up. In the Republican race for Texas Attorney General, Aaron Wright's outraised both of his opponents, but Mays Middleton, one of those opponents, gave $10 million to his own campaign, giving him the financial lead in that race. For Comptroller, Christy Craddock outraised Kelly Hancock, but Don Huffines, a third candidate, announced $15 million for the quarter, $10 million of which came from him. And State Rep Steve Toth from Conroe says he is going to challenge Congressman Dan Crenshaw for a seat in D.C. Toth is a hard right lawmaker who has spent a decade in the state house. Toth says that Crenshaw isn't conservative enough. Those are labels that Toth has also put on Governor Abbott and other state leaders. Crenshaw has clashed with hard right members of Congress in the past about whether they really want to govern, which is likely why he drew this opponent. All right, Texas lawmakers gavel back into session on Monday. This is a short 30-day special session, and Governor Abbott wants them to consider 18 issues, including how to address THC and redistricting. But the deadly flash floods have suddenly become paramount. State Senator Paul Bettencourt, a Republican from Houston, with one idea he intends to propose. Senator Bettencourt, welcome back to the program. Let's start with flood recovery here. Do you think state lawmakers have enough facts yet, with recovery still underway, to actually make any substantial changes to law?
Well, that's what these hearings are all about. The first thing is, we know that there is some technology that can be used. My idea was to use old tech sirens and combine them with what everybody is getting overloaded on, which are these cell phones right now, because, you know, we'll have a blue alert, an amber alert, a silver alert, a security alert, your bank will call you, whatever. And people are now turning these alerts off. In fact, in Texas, we turn off these alerts five times as fast as people, as Vermonters do.
Well, I'm one of those people who turned it off. And, you know, if I'm camping down there along the Guadalupe, how can I be notified?
Well, that's the part of the problem. Now, also, you don't get cell signal down there. Now, so we think a technology package, and that's the bill I'm working on with the Lower Colorado River Authority, that will look at sirens with, you know, Starlink towers, 5G, so we've got redundancy, you know, multiple messages, et cetera. And really what you're trying to do is layer on. You want to get people's attention. The real problem is that in the middle of the night, you know, with these turned off or picked up in a camp, you have to get people's attention. So, and there's nothing like an old school siren to get that attention, but you have to make sure it's triggered correctly. We've got gauges that tie into it. There's what's called a supervisory computer and data acquisition, you know, taking the input. So there's a lot of things we have to do with this technology package, but that's just going to be part of many bills that the committee looks at.
Watching this from afar, though, it seems to me that one obvious answer is to ban any sleeping quarters in the floodway and not grandfather anybody in. Is that even under consideration, do you think?
Well, I mean, these are different segments of the same problem. Okay. Now, I like you, watched the interview of the RV park owner and them trying to save the RV family that was out in the middle of the stream. And that would have been the one place where we wouldn't want anybody parked that night, was in the middle of the stream. So that's going to be stuff we'll discuss with the local elected officials, property owners, and all the people involved in this, the people that survived it as well in Kerrville.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you just about timeline and all this. The special session is 30 days long. There's the flood recovery that you guys will be considering. There's THC ban as well, and then redistricting included as well. Can all of this get done in 30 days, or do you expect lawmakers will be in Austin throughout the summer?
I expect that I could use some clones, okay? Because I've got a, the education bill talking about doing the STAR replacement test. That's one of mine. We've got this technology bill. We've got other bills that we're looking at. It's jam-packed. I mean, it's going to be quite a, quite a busy, special session. And we're going to get as much done as we can. That's just the way it works. But this is worth it. And I think Lieutenant Governor Patrick's been really clear on this. His priorities are obviously the floods, and then he's got a redistricting priority. And then, of course, we have a giant priority in between, which is the THC bill. So there is no lack of things to be done, let's put it that way.
Indeed so. Senator, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank you.
All right, let's bring in the roundtable to talk about the politics of this. Bud Kennedy is here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Ashley Godeau is a political director at KVU in Austin. And Natalie Haddad, of course, political reporter at WFAA in Dallas. We just heard from Senator Betancourt, Bud. That's one idea of many. Are they really, I guess the question is, do they have enough facts to really introduce anything to make a substantial change?
Well, there are some things that other states did. When Colorado had the only flood in the last half century that was more deadly, Colorado put up signs through the canyons saying, turn up your alerts, and also saying, climb in case of a flood, don't drive away, things like that. So you just put up signs, let people know they're in a dangerous area. The second thing that he didn't mention, there's going to be an effort to bring more broadband to rural Texas, not, Starlink alone, and Starlink is not that reliable, not using Starlink totally for this service, but try to bring broadband into these more populated tourist areas.
And Natalie, of course, this happened in the middle of the night. I mean, when people are sleeping here, too.
Yeah, and I think, one thing that we have to make sure of is during this legislation is how are you going to combat people who, like some of us, myself admittedly, has emergency alert systems turned off on your phone. And then to the point of Starlink and more of that broadband coming to Texas, how soon is that going to be implemented? And how are we going to deal with the issue of spotty service where Camp Mystic is and other places along the Guadalupe River? One of the things we heard in the days after the flooding was that, the service is spotty. Like they only had cell phones and some of the camp members didn't have their cell phones. What about walkie-talkies? I think there's so much more to dissect there than just let's fix the communication, let's add sirens. There's a lot more there.
There is a lot more there, Ashley.
Yeah, and I think we still don't have, to your point, Jason, all of the answers yet. We still have people who have not been recovered, right? And so I think so much of the efforts, and rightfully so, are on that we just have piecemeal information about what exactly happened that night, what went wrong, what could be done differently. And so I think there are things that we can do in the meantime, but until we have a full picture of what happened during this flooding event, we cannot fully address how we're going to prevent it from happening again.
Jason, something too, they need to look at Amber Alert reform. There are too many alerts. I talked with Sheriff Dee Anderson, Diana Simone, who came up with the idea. They say there are way too many alerts on kids that are not imminent child snatch, the original concept. There are way too many alerts, and that's why people are turning them off. The legislature has to fix that.
Yeah, indeed so. All right, a lot more ahead here, including this. When we come back here, Republicans want to redraw congressional districts in Texas, making it easier to defeat Democrats. Houston Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher on how her party will respond. And could a Democratic Attorney General defend laws passed by a Republican legislature? State Senator Nathan Johnson wants the job, so we will ask him that. Up next on Inside Texas Politics. Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. President Trump is worried that Republicans might lose control of Congress next year in the midterm elections. So he wants to redraw congressional districts in Texas, hoping to defeat as many as 5 Democrats in this state. Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher from Houston, potentially one of them. We spoke to her from D.C. Congresswoman, welcome back to the program. You said it's important to counter efforts like the redistricting that's upcoming here in Texas. Is there really anything, though, that Democrats in the legislature can do to counter it?
Well, I'm not an expert on everything they can do in the Texas legislature, but I trust that the folks who are our representatives in the legislature are working hard to think of all the different things that they can do. But I think one of the most important things we can do is make sure that people know that this is happening, right? The governor just announced this effort to redraw these districts last week, and he's done so while people across our state are recovering and grieving from these devastating floods in the Hill Country. And everything we hear is that they're going to try to do it very quickly and hope people don't notice. So I think the most important thing that we can do right now is make sure people know. And I think people need to be telling the Republicans in the legislature, need to be telling Governor Abbott, and need to be telling President Trump that this is not what they want, because that is what this is. Make no mistake, Governor Abbott and the Republicans in Texas are ceding their authority entirely to President Trump and national operatives to serve their ends as opposed to serving the needs of Texans.
Let's talk about the reality on the ground. There are a number of names I've heard from Democratic operatives and other people in politics, and they say that, you know, if this passes, and there's no reason to think that it will not pass with Republicans in charge of the legislature, if this passes, Vicente Gonzalez, Henry Cuellar, Lloyd Doggett, perhaps Al Green, Julie Johnson, I've heard your name, might be in vulnerable positions here if your districts are redrawn to include more Republican voters. Who do you think is most vulnerable?
Well, Jason, I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't think anybody knows. I think that every single seat matters. And I think the most important thing here is this isn't about any one representative or any one district. This is about the voters. This is about the people who elect those members. And this is about taking away their ability to feel and to believe and truly to make sure that their vote counts. And like I was saying earlier, what you see is in these 13 Democratic congressional districts, all 13 have a majority-minority district. I think maybe all but one in Austin. And all 13 seats, minority voters elect their candidate of choice. So no matter which of these seats, up to 5, the president said 5 this week, all of those seats will eliminate the voices of Texans.
Congresswoman, this is certainly something we are going to be watching. I appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again as this unfolds.
Thanks.
Redistricting is about to be a big deal here, and it's what we focus on in this week's episode of Y'allitics. There are several other Democratic members of Congress that experts think might also be vulnerable. But what if this backfires on Republicans? This episode of Y'allitics ready to download right now, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, now to the race for Texas Attorney General. It is growing right now. Galveston Mayor Joe Jaworski announced that he will run again for the position. He's a former mayor of Galveston. But the first Democrat to declare is State Senator Nathan Johnson from Dallas, who we interviewed just after his campaign launched. Senator Johnson, congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to be here.
An uphill battle does not begin to describe what you face. Where do you see a path to victory in this race?
I think uphill describes it pretty well, and I know how to run uphill. I ran uphill in my very first race. Particularly the media thought it was impossible, and we won by 8 points. I think more than any other office, you need an independent voice in the Attorney General's office. That office should not be taking marching orders from Washington, D.C., whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden in office. It needs to defend the interests of Texas, the state of Texas, the people of Texas, and when your decisions are made by donors, by influencers, by think tanks, or by presidents in Washington, you're not doing your job.
If elected, though, you'd have to defend laws the Republican legislature passes, even ones you might not agree with. How would you handle that?
Well, that's right. There are times when Greg Abbott or John Cornyn or Ken Paxton or the next attorney general, which if I'm fortunate would be me, you are going to have to defend the actions of the legislature. because we have a separation of powers. And sometimes that means you have to respect the law as it's set up.
Could you defend that, though? Could you defend Republican laws?
Well, I'll tell you what I won't defend is unconstitutional laws. Right, and if the legislature passes an unconstitutional law, I have an oath to uphold the integrity and the constitutional actions of this state. And we've seen in past attorney general's actions that there are times when the attorney general says, you know what, Texas is acting in a way that is unconstitutional, we're not gonna do it. Cornyn has done it, Abbott has done it. I would do it when the legislature steps out of bounds. I don't need to spend all of my time going after trying to invalidate everything the state government does. That's not what the attorney general does, nor do I need to spend all my time making sure that the latest Republican piece of legislative theater is a top priority in the office.
What are some laws, though, that the Republican legislature might pass or have passed that you couldn't defend? that you couldn't defend?
Well, those are things I'll look at one at a time when I'm in office. And the threshold is going to be, are these things legitimate functions of state government? And they're going to have to come up one at a time. I didn't come here with a list this morning, but I guarantee you there's going to be places where the attorney general has to make decisions. Yeah. And I will make those decisions.
You and I have known each other for a while, but I did not realize something your campaign said. You compose music, and you have created scores for the Dragon Ball Z anime series?
I wrote music for about a decade.
Really? Do you still do it now?
No, it's way too hard. It's a really difficult profession that requires your whole brain. I used to write classical music that I really liked and didn't make any money. And then I broke into writing for Dragon Ball Z, and it was... quite an interesting and gratifying time in my life.
How many scores have you written for them?
I think I did 67 episodes and four or five Dragon Ball Z movies.
Wow. Senator, good luck.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
The roundtable is ready when we come back. All right, time now for Reporters Roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Bud, Ashley, and Natalie all back with us here. And Bud, of course, the other big news the legislature will be handling is redistricting, and President Trump thinks that the legislature can get 5 seats out of the map. I don't know. Can they get 5 seats out? I can see the valley maybe, but how about these other places?
You can sit on the computer and play with it and see what you can draw. I've seen people who draw 6 seats, you know, but you make some of the Republican seats pretty marginal. Mm. There is a lot of hesitancy among members of Congress. Everybody's nervous when the maps are about to be redrawn. They want to know, who are going to be my voters? Where are they? Am I going to be able to win? And some of the suburban Republicans are the ones that might be at risk if there were any sort of blue way.
And Natalie, earlier in the program here, we heard about Vicente Gonzalez, Henry Cuellar, Al Green in Houston, Lloyd Doggett perhaps, and then Mark Vesey and Julie Johnson in Dallas. Who would be most vulnerable? I would presume the Valley.
I would agree with you there because of the red wave, I guess you could say, that we saw in this last presidential election. I think we have seen a huge shift in the Valley. Despite everything else, I do think that would 100% be most at risk. I don't know that I would think too hard on Dallas or Houston area.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
And you know, Ashley, I remember in 2018, Republicans, you know, took a licking and said, listen, when you guys redraw maps in 20 and 21, make sure we're safe. And now President Trump wants to kind of unwind that just a few years later.
Yeah. Are we just not even like hiding the gerrymandering anymore? Does that not blow anyone else's mind besides mine? I mean, I think, you know, we had all of these talks about, oh, gerrymandering doesn't happen. We don't stack and pack districts. And now we're literally saying, okay, no, we're going to get some more Republican seats. We think we can do it. Let's go ahead and do it. And it just runs so counter to what we heard when these maps were passed in 21, when we talked about race not being an issue. This was not a factor. This was all about geography. And this literally is running counter to that.
But Ashley, 5 seats, is that realistic?
I mean, for some reason, the president thinks he can get 5. I mean, clearly someone's telling him something, right?
Yeah, someone's drawing some map somewhere. Let's talk about the money we mentioned at the beginning of the program here too, Bud. New campaign finance reports are out and show some big numbers coming into a number of different candidates.
Well, we have, first of all, Greg Abbott has all the money in the world. What does he have, $100 billion, $200 billion? I'm kidding about that. But, you know, he has a tremendous amount.
$86 million cash on hand.
$86 million cash on hand. You have these $4 million, $2 million investments. I think Abbott has a million from Elon Musk, a million from one of his friends. It's like the money is just being scattered around in these giant figures. Just reminds people that the little person can't play.
Well, and that's a good point too, Ashley. You know, what does the everyday person think about it when you have Tim Dunn and a number of other, you know, people in oil spending millions and millions of dollars, Kelsey Warren and others spending millions to get what they want?
Yeah. I think people are waking up to it, right? I think people saw so much sort of come to life about donors and their agendas, particularly when it came to this push for education savings accounts or vouchers, whatever you want to call them. I think people are more aware of it now, right? And so that can be good or bad. It can make people call for change, or it can make people say it's not even worth trying.
Yeah. What do you make of this, though, Natalie?
You know, to Ashley's point, I think this go around may be less about how much money or people paying attention are going to pay less attention rather to how much money is being donated and who is donating that money. If you weren't for, say, school vouchers, you're probably not going to favor the person who is receiving money from someone like Tim Dunn, whose name also, you know, came up a lot during all of that.
Sure.
And Elon Musk, if you're not a fan of President Donald Trump or Doge or what Elon Musk did over the last several months, probably not going to favor that candidate either, where that money is going.
But the money is pouring in, and it's still really early here too, which is fascinating, guys. I appreciate your input as always. Thank you for watching as well. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics. Hope you can join us then. Take care.